referring to the outsourcing oversight and the revenue budget. Mr. Behan.
Thank you, Chair. The question one relates to the report by the Information Commissioner to Parliament recently. Elizabeth Demon, the Commissioner, stated in her message, information is an asset, information is knowledge, information is power. That's why having access to it goes to the heart of a healthy, functioning democracy. She then went on to say, these laws equip citizens, referring to the Freedom of Information Act and the Environmental Information Regs, equip citizens, the media, advocacy groups and others with information through which they can scrutinise the myriad of decisions and actions taken by public authorities at all levels. Services that are both accountable and transparent are better public services. These principles of access to information laws promote better decision making, which in turn improves services. Strong laws are an essential part of the bigger picture for effective open government that is democratically accountable to the people it serves. I won't quote the rest of the comments that she made, other than moving on. Somerset County Council has outsourced some high-profile services, for example, the in-house learning disability provider service in 2017 to the social enterprise known as Discovery, which is part of UK's Dimensions UK Limited. Does this council believe, and this is a quote from Elizabeth Denham, access to information legislation is essential to democratic accountability and helps to create what we all want to see, better public services, and will it, that's this council, ask Somerset MPs to support and campaign for these proposals in Parliament? And will this council promote the Freedom of Information Act and the environmental regs within the local government association, for instance, to apply to organisations that have public service contracts, for example, Discovery Dimensions UK Limited, the contract with Somerset County Council? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Behan. Item number two is Kevin Greenwood.
Hello. 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
My question is, right, how can the council justify paying the new S151 officer, Sheila Collins, approximately £211,000 a year? I mean, that's, I think, £900 a day. I mean, personally, I couldn't actually accept that wage because, I mean, £900 a day, and she's the new finance officer, as I understand. That's my question.
Thank you. I made an error then. I looked across the benches quickly for anybody replying. I didn't give you really time to indicate to reply to Mr. Behan's comment. So I'm looking across to Councillor Fay.
Thanks, Nigel, for the question. I'll answer the first bit and then pass over to Councillor Chilcott on the second area. Somerset County Council has a strong record of fulfilling its statutory duties in regard to data sharing, data protection and data access. You'll note an item on the agenda later today with a new statutory appointment in this area. We're, of course, happy to comply with all government regulations in terms of data access and will continue to do so. Should the government change its approach to public service contracts, we will comply again. But as an example, I hope you may have noted this transparency over the past year or so in how little of our information is actually placed in confidential papers within our reports. Thank you.
Councillor Chilcott.
Thank you, Nigel. I don't think you asked your second question, but would you like to just do it now and then I'll sit and come back to you?
Thank you, Chair. I'll just move on to the... I'll just finish with the last couple of paragraphs. The general reserves are forecast to improve, as are the earmarked, including negative reserves, for 2019-20, with the Discovery Equalisation negative reserve forecast to disappear in the next financial year. The budget requirement, about £328 million for 19-20, appears to be approximately £10 million higher than last year, whilst there is still a shortfall to address with the council tax increase of 3.99%. That Somerset County Council is part of it. What would SCC need to do next year in the financial modelling once the one-off adjustments, debt repayment adjustments, capital flexibilities, council tax collection surpluses are discounted, and is there any expectation of further overspends in children's services? And did Somerset County Council contribute to the recent National Audit Office report on children's services? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for your question. So in relation to your questions on the Council's finance and budget, I'm pleased that you've picked up on the very positive improvements in our overall financial sustainability, and in particular that you've noted the very significant improvements in our general fund level. As to the specifics on your question about financial modelling, I would point out the report contains a lot of information about the financial years 2021 and 21-22 already. While we do not have sound information about the funding arrangements that the government is planning for the years after 1920, and nobody really knows, we have taken account of all the one-off funding and savings that you highlight. Even with that in mind, the report highlights that there are outline plans to reduce the estimated gap to about £5 million. That, combined with the increased reserves position, gives assurance that this council will have improved its resilience and be able to weather any surprises that the end of 2019 may present to us. Furthermore, we will continue to work over the coming months to refine those estimates. This council, as do all councils, continually models and reviews its finances throughout the year. Numerous monitoring reports will be presented to various committees of this council, and I'm sure you will agree with me that this year's reporting of the financial position has been more in-depth, transparent and frequent than this council has probably ever seen. This means members and the public will continue to be kept informed about the financial position throughout 1920, whilst work continues to model and refine the projections for future years. Thank you.
Councillor Chilcot, can I ask you now to reply to Mr Greenwood's comment? How can the Council justify paying the new Section 151 officer, etc.?
Thank you, Kevin, for your question. The rate being paid for the Director of Finance and Section 151 officer is, as you say, £900 a day. This price has been influenced by the market for these skills, which are in short supply, as we've tested this with recruitment exercises over the past 12 months. We had similar questions asked when a current interim 151 officer was appointed, and I believe that the current financial position of Somerset County Council clearly demonstrates that this has been a very successful engagement for this council. We've worked with the proposed new S151 officer now for a number of months and are confident that this will be a similarly successful appointment. I would remind you that the day rate does, of course, not include any holidays, sickness or pension payments. Thank you.
Right, the third questioner is Elvira Elliott regarding Get Set.
Okay, is that on? Okay. On behalf of the GetSet users, since the recent Cabinet meeting, we have been struggling to make sense of what we're being told. The Council bandied around statistics about closing the children's centres, used the line, it's about people, not buildings, and then tells us they're not in fact closing. They tell us initially that difficult decisions have to be made for financial reasons. Then 2 weeks ago, they say that no saving is being made in this area, and they are in fact improving the system. GetSet is to continue another year, during which time the staff will train volunteers to do their jobs for free, but the staff are all leaving, and there is no plan to recruit. So what then becomes of the children's centres? I found out that should the council close them, they could become liable for having to pay back the original Sure Start grant from the Department of Education. So the centres stay open in name only, but the staff go. Already in charge, the centres have been taken over by a private nursery, Shepton by a school, and so on. Technically, they're still being used for early years settings, but they are now not an open community resource open to all. Parents will get their mandated 5 visits from an overstretched assistant health visitor, and then nothing until nursery funding kicks in, unless they can afford to pay privately. I can tell you that this age, 0-2, is a time of intense financial difficulty for many families, and I would say the time when you need the most community support. I would like to suggest that the Council tells these partners that the price of taking on one of these centres must be the provision of at least 2 affordable, universal stay and play groups per week, and support them to provide this. At least then the universal groups could be run by trained staff. We are very worried that should universal groups be run by volunteer parents, that cliques could form, leading to bullying, gossip and social exclusion. There needs to be some level of professional oversight. And it seems there is currently poor oversight nationally about what actually constitutes a children's centre. If ours are to pick up children's centres in name only, I will raise this issue with MPs and the Department of Education. Regarding community and voluntary organisations, the only example we're ever given is Home Start in West Somerset, and we've been told there's no level two demand there. As Minehead was recently shown to be one of the boroughs in the UK with the lowest social mobility, I'd like to know what's the level three demand there compared to the rest of Somerset. Could it be that most families in need in such a deprived area have higher needs due to the compounding factors of deprivation? West Somerset is a small area with the vast majority of its population concentrated in Minehead and Watchet. I asked the council, have they considered the logistical implications and the travel they'll be expecting of their volunteers in areas where the population is not centralised in this way? As a parent in a rural community, I'm not surprised that there are some community and voluntary organisations in the larger town, but I'll tell you there's nothing in our area. Parents are isolating and struggling, and there are not a lot of dry indoor places to go with your small child. The Children's Centre in Glastonbury was a community meeting place for us, and there is no obvious alternative. I asked the council to provide me with some examples other than Home Start of organisations which can take over from Get Set in rural areas. Finally, if the level two caseload continues for the next year and other services take over in March 2020, what becomes of parents who have level two needs arising over the coming year?
Thank you. I'm going to ask Councillor Frances Nicholson to respond, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Elvira, for your question. In terms of the first question, the current open cases within Level 3 services are 836, and 29 of those are in the West Somerset area. As you will be aware, all public bodies face significant financial challenges, and all of us must make the most effective use of the resources that we have. Early help is the responsibility of and must have input from all partners in the Children's Trust. This is something that we must all do together. We will continue to support services at level two where there are external sources of funding. Schools, for example, continue to contribute significantly to early help services for children of school age, investing £1.8 million per annum in the parent and family support advisors and the team around the school model, all level two services. Children's services continue to bid for national programmes, and we've secured £38,000 for the Department of Work and Pensions Reducing Parental Conflict programme and a £70,000 grant in the coming year, following £40,000 this year, for parenting work with youth offenders. The third sector is a very important partner in early help, and there are some outstanding models of support provided by highly skilled and supported volunteers. In Somerset, we have our own examples of good practice. They do include Home Start in West Somerset, and I would also just mention Yeovil Church's work in South Somerset. We will continue to support them and others. Learning from Adult Services Community Connect developments, we will establish a £200,000 annual fund that can be used to start groups and activities, but we will also have staff that can work with these groups to find other sources of funding. National funding bodies have reported that Somerset's take-up of third sector funding is low, and often local authorities are unable to access these sources of funding. So we want to work actively with the voluntary and community sector and secure more external funding into the county. We know this can take time, so we'd ensure seed funding is provided over a period of time to allow bidding application processes to happen. For the next year, the Get Set Level 2 team will continue to support families providing parenting programmes and group work. We will strengthen the first point of contact with a family, including website information and advice that is available on Somerset Choices and the local offer for children, particularly those with SEND. For clarity, Somerset Direct is the council's call centre and there are highly trained staff who can provide advice, guidance and signposting by email and on the phone. And we are considering how this can be improved even further. It is also important to emphasise that we are committed to continuing to provide services at level three of the early help continuum, these services which directly reduce the need for statutory children's services. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor. Before I ask the next speaker, can I just remind speakers that the full text of your questions has been published and it is all here. It is not necessary for you to read the whole thing unless you wish to do so, unless you wish to paraphrase it or bring out your salient points, but do not feel that you have to read the full amount. Okay, I'm going to ask the next speaker, who is Marianne Evans, stroke Gracie Evans, Young Carers.
Yeah, I'm a young carer, and my question's regarding that. It gives me a break from helping my mum and to care for my brother, who has learning disabilities and epilepsy. This vital group ensures that I have someone to talk to who understands and socialise with other young carers who understand, because a lot of my friends aren't aware. It's really safe place, and most of all, we have like lots of fun. And I've built strong friendships, and my confidence has grown. My question is, how will you ensure that the support groups and trips are going to continue with my young carers' family? And when are we going to be told of the trips through the school holidays which have failed to happen this term? Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Councillor Frances Nicholson to reply, please.
Mr. Chairman, I can certainly answer now, or I could answer both the young carers' questions together.
If you care to, yes.
Yeah, it's the same answer for both.
Okay. In that case, I will move to Holly Baker. Please.
As you're aware of, I am a young carer, and if we lost our young carers, it'd be like losing one big family. They're always there when we need someone. They help you with any school problems. They help you achieve goals that you thought you're not able to achieve, and they help you achieve things that you want to achieve. They're easy to talk to and listen well. When you struggle to get time on your own at home, going to a young carers group help give you space to yourself. They help you feel safe. They help you push your confidence to become who you really are and what you want to be. They support you at home. When they take you to events, it helps bring your communication up. As a young carer, we become housebound due to medical needs for the person we care for. My school is one of the few that have worked in partnerships with the service, but there is no appointed person to talk to when young carers aren't there. Young carers has helped me become the person I am today, and I honestly don't know what I'd do without them. Why change the staff when we've grown to trust them? We are supposed to trust the adults who say that are here for us. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Councillor Nicholson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Marianne and Holly, for your questions. Let me start by saying that you and all young carers are appreciated by me and by the whole council. And while I appreciate I can't know about your particular circumstances, my son also has epilepsy, so I have a little awareness. We are committed to supporting more young carers and providing a greater range of support. We can do this best by getting funding which is not open to the council and using our limited resources to support this. We recognise how important the regular social support groups are to all our young carers, and have already made the commitment that these groups will continue to run regularly, though staffing may well change. As well as the groups, many of our young carers have identified safe and trusted adults to whom they can go when they feel the need. These links will continue to be promoted when any assessment of a child or young person is identified as a young carer is completed. And the calendar of respite events and trips will be completed as soon as possible and shared as soon as possible with young carers and their families. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor. The last speaker is Eva, and I'm going to apologise, I may not pronounce this correctly, Brykowski.
Okay, could you tell me, Chair, when I've got a minute left? Please? This is what we're all about, service users. Okay. They're not customers. It's not a sausage-making factory. They're service users. When I worked at Learning Disabilities for 16 years, the staff put the service users first, second and last. And they were more important than their salaries and working conditions. Of course, the latter were important to them, but they were mostly concerned with the service users. Okay. And when I come across, since the outsourcing of learning disabilities to Discovery, when I come across staff, parents, and especially service users, they're very upset about the way the services are going, you know, the deterioration. It's been reported that redundancies and early retirements have cost upwards of 475 million so far. Unfilled vacancies, Unfilled vacancies, shifts not fully covered, agency staff who don't know the full needs of the service users have led to a deterioration of the quality and standards of care. From my research, Discovery has had not had proper monitoring from the local authority and other independent checks into its quality of care. This leads me to wonder whether they're marking their own homework. Right, question one. Since Discovery took over the learning disabilities, how closely have the council been monitoring their progress and performance according to external indicators of quality of care and standards required by service users, parents and staff? I absolutely do not want vague, abstract phrases that we can all agree on. Be specific. Question two, please give specific examples and hard evidence about how the local authority... Thanks. About how the local authority is doing this and provide a report, as soon as possible, on how Discovery is performing, including whether they're succeeding, failing or otherwise. And it's all about the service users, so please do the report within a month. Question three. In the proposed capital investment programme, in the minutes of the Cabinet meeting on January the 23rd, well, you can read it all, right? It takes a long time to read it. It's in your notes. Can somebody please make this crystal clear in plain language as to what this exactly means? Again, no vague abstract phrases. Otherwise, and this may seem to some rather controversial, people may think that the words in the statement are being used in such a way as to almost hide the true meaning of what is actually being expressed. But I've no idea whether this is in fact the case, because I don't understand what it all means.
Thank you. Spot on time. Thank you very much. Councillor David Huxtable to reply, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Eva. Welcome again. Response to question one, and I'll try not to use vague abstract phrases because I don't understand them either. Questions clearly, your statement questions, clearly the themes contain both, and both have been covered many times before and indeed in the main answered. This council takes the transformation of the learning disability service very seriously, and that is, it's not just the learning disability service provided by Discovery, but all of the other learning disability services that we commission and deliver across the county. I reject your view that we do not monitor this contract, and we do indeed monitor it very closely. Now, the answer to question two, specific examples of how we monitor the contract, Council monitors this contract in a number of ways. There are formal contract review meetings that are held each month, including from this council, senior commissioning officers, contract officers, finance officers, and my junior cabinet member. In addition, there are scheduled teleconferences fortnightly, monitoring both delivery and transformation. The council also responds in a reactive manner when we get referrals, such as safeguardings. In addition, the Adults and Health Scrutiny Committee, which is very important in this process, regularly has an update report on the contract performance, and I know you're aware of that. And the next report is at the March scrutiny meeting. We are absolutely committed to the success of this contract and will ensure it delivers the transformation needed. Now, the question three about the technical finance bit, I hope you understand this, I think I do. But I'm reading it and you haven't got it in front of you. Quite simply, it means that we have underspends in both the budget for our Discovery transformation costs, that's linked to the reduced anticipation costs being incurred, and underspends in the broader non-learning disability services. We intend to use both these underspends to pay off an element of the Learning Disability Equalisation Reserve, which our current and our new 151 office is very keen on, because we had a reserve with no money in it, which didn't really help. But so we are now paying off that, and this is effectively paying off a debt in one go, which we were going to pay off over the life of the contract, and has the added benefit of freeing up revenue to spend on our day-to-day services going forward. Thank you. Chairman, there was a fourth question, which you agreed not to take, but I will supply a written answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Huxtable. That concludes the public speakers at this stage. Can I just remind anybody here for the climate change, you cannot expect much to happen much before midday, so if you wish to take a break before that, I invite you to do so. You may not want to sit here through the next bit of business, but midday would be the next time when we can approach that subject. So we'll move on. Item 6 on the agenda, and that is the report of the Leader and Cabinet for decisions. You'll find this on pages 41 to 422. Item 6, these are papers A, B, C and D. They will be introduced by our leader, Councillor David Fothergill, leader of the council. And I must reference on the report, the supporting papers A, B, C and D, which includes equalities impact assessments that members will have due regards to. Members will be asked to consider and debate these four papers before the council, and then asked to vote separately on the recommendations that are set out below. So I'm going to invite Councillor David Fothergill and Councillor Chilcot to present the key points from the budget papers published. Councillor Fothergill will propose and Councillor Chilcot will second the recommendations in the four papers to Council. At the end of this, I will invite members to debate and ask questions about the four budget papers. I request that members reference specific pages of the agenda pack when making any points about the four papers. That will enable the Cabinet member to find out exactly where you are quoting from and may enable them to give you a prompt answer. Councillor Fothergill and Councillor Chilcot will answer any questions. If necessary, Peter Lewis, the Section 151 officer, may also be invited to answer any points raised. Following the debate, I will then invite the Council to vote upon the recommendations for each paper separately as set out, and you'll see that in the agenda. So I'm now going to hand straight to Councillor Fothergill.
Thank you, Chairman. September the 12th last year was a particularly challenging day. I remember it well. It was a day that I had to lead the Cabinet through a series of really very difficult decisions. A day which will certainly live with me for a long time, and I'm sure with many others for years to come. And yet, despite all that, it was so absolutely vital that we took those decisions on September the 12th. For as the LGA peer review had very clearly told us, we needed to grip our finances. The reasons for it are well rehearsed. I'm sure we've all got our own take on it. But the growing service demands linked with falling government funding were two of the substantial reasons. September the 12th is only 5 months away. It seems an age, an absolute age. 5 months ago, and how circumstances have changed for Somerset County Council. 5 months ago, we were trending towards a £20 million overspend. Today, just 5 months later, we have reversed that and we are heading towards a £1 million underspend. 5 months ago, our general reserves were down to 5.8 million. Today, as we set our MTF budget, that will be projected at £19 million. This is a key measure which on how councils are performing and their financial health is judged. 5 months ago, our reserves were being depleted, and yet today, we are significantly increasing those reserves. 5 months ago, our negative reserves were causing a great deal of concern with Cabinet, with members and with officers, not to mention our auditors as well. Today, we're making huge strides to pay off those negative reserves, which apart from DSG, which for technical reasons cannot be eliminated, the rest will be eliminated within the next year. 5 months ago, we could never look at setting a balanced budget for the next year, let alone for the next three. And yet today, we're doing just that. 5 months ago, we were viewed as a problem authority. Today, we are a beacon, an example of how belief, determination, and difficult decisions can make a difference in the world of local authorities. People are talking about Somerset for the right reasons. Today, we're bringing forward a budget which is sound, robust, and achievable. We're also setting out budgetary plans for the next 2 years, an ambitious capital programme and an innovation through an investment strategy. There should be no doubt the decisions taken in September were sometimes beyond difficult. And yet, without them, we would not be where we are today. Just 5 months ago, everywhere there was talk of Northamptonshire, talk of Section 114s, talk of bankruptcy. It even appeared on the front of some political leaflets, I believe. But today we can hold our heads high that we took those difficult decisions, that we've met the financial challenges, and we've returned this county council onto a sustainable footing. Whatever your political beliefs, there can be no getting away from the fact that this council has turned itself around. We have started to address some of the areas where the most uncomfortable decisions were made. We've returned to gritting, to children's services, and of course the bus subsidy consultation, which we pulled almost unnoticed in December, but had we gone ahead, would have impacted every single one of our communities across Somerset. We're starting to really address the prevention agenda, and I'm delighted that today we will look further at how we can increase funds in this vital area. We have literally gripped our finances and laid strong financial foundations for the future. That is something we should be very proud of. Not for the sake of pride, not for the sake of political point scoring, but for the sake of Somerset residents who need and deserve long-term sustainable services, and who will now be reassured that those services are on a sound financial footing. But before we get too carried away, let us acknowledge the work that has been not been done. We face many challenges as a local authority still. Who knows where Brexit's going? 44 minutes and I mentioned it, Chairman, I apologise. But who knows what the challenges of Brexit will bring, one way or another? We have challenges of an ongoing broken model for local government funding, and that has not been fixed. And we have the challenges of demography across Somerset. We will need to be vocal, we will need to shout out very loud for our case for fairer funding this autumn. Somerset is disadvantaged in so many funding ways, we must now turn our full attention to that task. I commend the four papers to you. Never before has so much detail been provided. Never before have so many briefings, meetings, discussions taken place, and never before have members from all political corners had such an opportunity to influence and to shape the financial direction of this county. I rise to propose these papers and hand to Mandy Chilcott.
Thank you, Councillor Fothergill. Councillor Chilcott, please.
Thank you, Chair. We're going to actually discuss all the papers in one today, so I will be introducing papers A, B, C and D. I'm pleased to introduce item 6, which is a collection of competent financial documents which will support the achievement of the Council's priorities, giving us and the residents of Somerset confidence that we have strong control over our finances and their money. Paper A, the Capital Strategy. The Capital Strategy is a new report intended to give a high-level overview of how capital expenditure, capital financing and treasury management activity contribute to the provision of services in the county. This strategy also sets out how this council might seek alternative mechanisms for generating income. The council will investigate opportunities and will of course do so all within the relevant regulations and statute. The proposals in the capital strategy are not yet fully formulated, so this report seeks delegated authority for a small group of members and officers to design the governance arrangements and ambitions for this part of the strategy. £100 million has been noted in the draft capital programme as being identified for non-strategy investment, pending the appropriate strategy and governance being put in place. So this document is another step along the path towards seeking alternative ways to financially support the services that will improve the lives of our residents right across Somerset. You'll find appended to the capital strategy is the minimum revenue provision policy statement. This statement takes into account the latest guidance and, in short, the MRP is the amount of money we set aside each year to ensure that we can repay our borrowing when it becomes due. We're looking to change the way that we do this, setting aside smaller amounts but over a longer period. In order to ensure that this policy is prudent and makes adequate provision for the repayment of the Council's debt, it is proposed to add a further £400,000 increment each year. The MRP profile has been carefully modelled to ensure that appropriate sums are set aside for the repayment of the debt at the point at which it comes due, which is actually as far away as 2055, so quite some time into the future. But to be clear, it does not increase the amount of interest paid over the total term. Moving on to Paper B, this reports the capital programme for 1920 and 21-22. This paper closely links to the capital strategy and the MRP statement we've just talked about. This capital programme shows that the Council plans to continue to invest in Somerset to provide new school places, transport, infrastructure and to improve our facilities to meet the needs of our communities and to support continued economic growth across our county. Overall, this programme sets out planned investments of over £224 million from 2019 through to 2023, with a programme of almost £90 million for just next year. The largest element of this programme relates to highways infrastructure, totalling over £156 million over the period and £59 million next year alone. Most of this, I'm pleased to say, is funded by government grant and other external contributions such as S106 and community infrastructure levy monies. Keeping the county moving is very important to this council. Also of great importance to our communities is an adequate number of good schools to educate our growing population of children. Nearly £30 million will be spent on this part of the programme over the next 4 years. In January 2018, the authority announced it plans to build 24 new or replaced or expanded primary schools around the county over the next 7 to 10 years. Some of these projects, I'm pleased to report, are well underway. The message of this planned programme is that Somerset is open for business and is investing to improve the lives of our residents and their families. Moving on to the Treasury Management Strategy for 1920, which is Paper D. This is often called a Cinderella report, but it's an essential component to our smooth running and safe handling of our public money, but it's frequently overlooked. The first sentence of this report is really key. The Council recognises that effective Treasury management underpins the achievements of its business and service objectives and is essential for maintaining a sound financial reputation. This report refers to our management of £325 million of debt and £220 million of investment, all of which need to be handled very carefully. As ever, I'm grateful to the Treasury Management Team for their production of this detailed report and for their day-to-day work to keep our money safe and working hard for us. Moving on to the medium-term financial plan for 2019-22 and the annual budget for 1920. One of the challenges that Grant Thornton, our auditors, gave to us in last year's value for money assessment was to consider what is realistic and achievable base budget for each service area and having regard to the previous year's performance.
I believe that this medium-term financial plan and annual budget does just that. The preparation and thought underpinning the detail in this report is consciously aimed at ensuring that the budget is robust, deliverable, and supports our ambitions, again, to improve the lives of our residents. Furthermore, this budget should ensure that the Council is financially robust enough to withstand the anticipated turbulence as we learn more about the Government's planned spending review and the implementation of its new funding formula. I should also highlight that the Somerset Waste Board has now considered its budget for 1920, and the savings that requested have been endorsed by that board. This means that recommendation 8 on page 45 of your papers should be amended to finish at the word endorsed, given the consideration already given. In some respects, I expect the debate on the MTFP to be brief. During 18-19, we have consciously worked on making our finances more transparent to all members, and this report continues very much in that vein. We've prepared and presented bespoke reports to each of the three scrutiny committees to enable them to comment on the construction of their elements of the budget and their proposals for change. I thank the scrutiny committees for their due diligence. We presented the technical aspects of the budget to the audit committee, and again I thank them for their very considered debate. And the overall budget has been in front of the Cabinet on two occasions, once in December and again in early February. So we have quite rightly given this budget a lot of time for debate and thought, and it's been subjected to examinations from any number of angles. Today what we need to do is secure agreement for the budget and to set the council tax for 1920. Back in December 18, we were talking about a projected budget gap for the next financial year of £19 million. Through the use of funding flexibilities, this gap was reduced to £15 million, with some £7 million already being delivered through decisions that were made in the last quarter of 18 that we've already heard the leader talk about. Consequently, in this paper, we have to consider about £8 million of proposals in order to ensure that this council sets a balanced budget, which is something that it legally has to do. Every effort has been made to minimise the impact on services of those proposals, and it's judged that only about £2 million will represent a deterioration in any services. Of course, even that impact is regretted, as it will doubtless affect our residents. Our focus today is on the 1920 budget, but there is a competent MTFP within the budgets that outlines 2021 and 21-22, being necessarily more vague due to the lack of clarity of funding. However, I find it reassuring that there is a plan forming that shows how a predicted gap can be managed down to about £5 million. Finally, I wish to draw your attention to section 6 of the report, in which the Director of Finance makes his formal section 25 robustness statement. This is an important element of our budget setting, and we need to take appropriate notice of the comments made by the Director as we formulate our recommendation to the Council. I particularly note the Director's comments at paragraph 6.12, where he indicates that robust transformational change must be pursued to avoid future budgets where detailed proposals for change are required. So, councillors, I'm pleased and confident to recommend the MTFP and reports A, B and D to this council, and this budget will continue to support those that are most vulnerable and looks to improve the lives of our residents in line with our council's vision. It plans to deliver improved education with new and improved schools, improved roads and infrastructure, improved job prospects and business growth, working with partners to increase innovation and skills across our county, and also, we mustn't forget, the improved resilience and a balanced budget. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Deputy Leader. I'm going to invite Peter Lewis, the Section 151 officer, now. He may wish to make comment.
Thank you, Chairman. The Deputy Leader has already made reference to Section 6 of the report, page 115 of your papers, the robustness statement which I'm required to prepare, and I can continue to endorse that to the members of this Council. Thank you.
I'm going to open this up for members to debate, and I shall look across to Councillor Liz Leyshon, please.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to Councillor Chilcott, whom I shadow as opposition spokesperson on resources. Frankly, Chair, when I took this on last May, I didn't have a clue what I was getting into. I'm not sure that Councillor Chilcott did either. We have been extremely fortunate over the last 6 months in having some very intensive, excellent work completed by Peter Lewis in his interim capacity, working with existing, previous and new officers of the finance team. They've created an environment that has allowed this council to turn the sharpest of corners. But having turned that corner, the challenge now is to stay on the straight, hopefully not too narrow, path that lies ahead, with little certainty for the following year's settlement from government. In acknowledging the talent and the dedication of the finance team, we need to acknowledge that a complete team of finance professionals is absolutely essential for the good work to continue and to cope with those changes that lie ahead of us, however we feel politically about that situation. The finance, together with HR and the premises teams, they are the engine room of any organisation. They make possible the work of the directorates. We must value and support them here as they are supported elsewhere in the public and the private sector. When they urge caution, we must listen to them. And when we look at the MTFP, which is the paper, of course, today that people will be looking at most closely, we need to take into account the addendum paper that was agreed by Cabinet on the 11th of February and which is now incorporated in the MTFP paper today. And on this side of the room, we note the £500,000 that was allocated to preventative work. We look forward to the details of how those monies will be allocated. We also take note of the members' information sheet that came out on Friday that shows us very clearly how this council believes, led by the Chief Executive, that we need to work differently in the future. I'm not saying that local authorities are broken, but they have been damaged by the experience that we have seen firsthand over the last year and a little more. We need to work together closely in a way that we may never have worked closely before in order for this county within this country to find a sensible way forward. And when we look at those funds that were agreed, those additional funds and the reinstatement of some of the savings proposals that either went through in September, as the precautionary gritting did, or as some of the other potential savings that have now been removed from the MTFP. Particularly, I'm delighted, Chair, that I no longer have to be the drain monitor for my urban road. I did not look forward to 4 years of clearing leaves from drains. My Victorian forefathers and mothers in a Quaker town did a great job of planting deciduous trees. They shed their leaves in urban areas, as they do in rural areas, and they need to be cleared. So I am very grateful that those amounts have been put back in. We need to understand properly and clearly what preventative work means, how we can help families and people of all ages to find the best way forward, to improve their resilience, to save their unhappiness, and in some places, physical and mental suffering, so that we can find ways to reduce later additional spend for this council and, of course, every local authority. And, Chair, I need to take your advice and the advice of the monitoring officer at which stage I might be able to propose a budget amendment, please.
I am advised that if you have an amendment, you can propose it now.
Thank you, Chair. I welcome that opportunity and thank you for that possibility. So my budget amendment for the MTFP paper is that this council approves the addition of a further one-off £500,000 to the ring fence prevention reserve with a view to scoping and commissioning work in the following areas. So I'll read this in full, if that's acceptable to you, Chair. So the first area, to pilot with partners into impacts of universal credit and possible Somerset County Council approaches to increase families' resilience, thereby reducing future pressures on the council. And that amount is up to £200,000 as a one-off figure, possibly spread over more than one financial year, but clearly a one-off figure. Secondly, increasing the ability of this council to develop seed grants to communities to lead to a...
Point of order, Chairman, please.
Go ahead, Councillor Hoekstra.
Chairman, I understand, however late the hour, the tradition of alternatives and indeed proposals, which seem really quite technical, should be presented either in paper format or these days instantly you can produce it in electronic format. Could we all have that so we can have it in front of us? Because most of us don't have any paper now left to scribble on. Thank you.
I'm going to just confer with the monitoring officer and the legal. Well done, Liz. This will now be emailed to all members. Councillor Nation, would you wish to continue?
Right. Thank you, Chair. I was hoping that my words would be adequate. I do apologise that they are not. So, second point was increasing ability of this council to develop seed grants to communities to lead to a redesign of young carers support, that being an additional £100,000. Chair, I'm happy with the use of the word redesign. I think this council used redesign well on the recent libraries redesign work, and so I'm very happy to use that word again. Thirdly, a review of the county ticket, looking to encourage young people to use bus travel rather than car travel, and that, of course, we will see more of that subject later with the climate change motion. That amount is allowed up to £170,000. And fourthly, but certainly not by any means last, access to specialist financial advice relating to the investment strategy. That is a small amount, up to £30,000, but to enable us to have the correct professional advice in the room at the point at which we start to consider the governance arrangements for any borrowing with a view to non-treasury investment. So the 151 officer, to whom I offer my personal thanks for his excellent work, not just because he's a brilliant technical accountant, but because he's also a very decent human being who can understand, explain things to me in a way that I can understand, and that doesn't happen every day, Chair. So the 151 officer has offered assurance that Somerset County Council will be able to allocate sufficient additional funding for this proposal as a one-off basis. So I am proposing this amendment, Chair. I am also calling on Councillor Mandy Chilcott, as Cabinet Member for Resources, to second the amendment. Thank you very much.
Councillor Chilcott.
Thank you. I'm not prepared to second that amendment.
We now need a seconder. Okay, I'm calling for a seconder. Councillor Tessenlund.
I'll second that amendment, sir.
Councillor Fothergill, you indicated you wish to speak.
Thank you very much indeed, Chairman. Thank you, Liz, for the work that she's done. It's some fine words written there. Well crafted, whoever wrote them. So, can I just say that we welcome the opposition party...
Point of order. That is truly out of saying that... David.
I think, can I just respond?
Liz Leishen wrote them words.
Can I have a little calm down? All of you, calm down, please. I notice what you said, Councillor. Let Councillor Fothergill speak and we'll discuss that.
Can I just forward on to Councillor Dance the email that I sent to Liz Leishen last night at 8 o'clock with those very words that I'd written for her? I will forward that email for you. Right, moving on then, back to the business. So we welcome the opposition coming forward. It seems unfortunate, therefore, they've come forward so late in the day. There were some good ideas in there that I think that we would like to consider. However, we're not prepared at this stage to consider them in full because they're not fully worked up. Therefore, we have an alternative proposal to that amendment, which we now bring. And the monitoring officer has a copy of this just emailed to him, so you can forward it on.
Yes. Just to make it very clear to councillors, we have to vote on the first amendment first before we can take any other amendment.
Are there any other questions?
Are there any other questions?
And prior to this, Chair.
All right, I think the most practical method here is I ask Peter Lewis if he'd be kind enough to comment on that, so every councillor has clarity about that issue. And then we're going to take a vote on the amendment, and then we will, depending on which way that goes, then I will call Councillor Chilcot to put forward her circulated amendment. So we'll do it in that order. Mr Lewis, please.
Thank you, Chairman. And firstly, can I thank Councillor Leishen for her kind comments, not only about myself, but about the finance team. I do appreciate those. I confirm that Councillor Leishen and Councillor Locke have engaged with me through the development of this proposal, and I have confirmed there is funding available for the proposal as put forward. Thank you.
Thank you. So we're going to move to the amendment.
Sorry, point of clarification.
Councillor Redmond, is this a question?
It's a point of clarification, Chair.
Okay. Ask a question then, please.
Point of order. Procedurally, I'm just clarifying that previously in this chamber we've had a number of amendments that come forward at once, and then generally we would vote on the first amendment first, as you are correctly trying to indicate. I'm a little bit confused, because if there are other amendments to this motion, then they should be able to be brought forward. It's just the voting that's consequential. So the fact that the Leader of Council or the Vice Deputy Leader has proposed an amended amendment, although confusing or as additionally at the last minute, hopefully we'll be able to clarify where we are. But procedurally, I would suggest that they can come forward. It's just the voting that's consequential.
Okay, I can accept your argument, and I'm perhaps minded to go with it. The only issue is, if this now is a succession of amendments following amendments following amendments, councillors are either likely to lose sight of the original. I felt for clarity it would have been clearer to have voted on the first amendment and then logically do others.
But Chair, if there's a feeling this,
please, I'm speaking. Please, if there are councillors that wish it to be done the way Councillor Redmond suggests, would you just indicate in a very quick show of hands so I can see your preference? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, okay. I'm going to turn to the monitoring officer. There were 11 in favour of that.
Point of order, please.
Okay. Is it a proper point of order, please?
I believe it is, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. I'm not sure, sir, that it is actually a matter for the councillors to decide how this should proceed. I believe that this is all set down constitutionally, and we must hear all of the amendments. In my understanding, we must hear all of the amendments, because it might be an amendment to an amendment or whatever. I'm very sorry if councillors can't catch up with that, but I'm sure we can rely on Scott to actually explain to us what it is we're voting about, if some of us have trouble with that. But actually, this is set down quite clearly. It's not a choice for councillors in which way it goes. It is actually to be dealt with in terms of the Constitution. Thank you, sir.
Councillor Munt, your comments noted. I did use the word indication. I was trying to get a feeling for the meeting. I believe in democracy, and as long as I sit in this chair, I will practice democracy. I note your comments, Councillor Munt. And I will abide by the decision of the monitoring officer.
The monitoring officer, I'm sure, will confirm the state of the Constitution.
Again, just for the benefit of all councillors, yes, it is usually prudent, and it's certainly constitutional, that it would be expected for the further amendment to also be proposed. That provides an opportunity clearly for the proposers of the first amendment in order to consider whether they also wish to withdraw or even for that to fall by the wayside. That's one of the benefits of taking all successive amendments and hearing them prior to any voting taking place. So yes, I would concur that it would be acceptable and certainly preferential for any further amendments to be proposed and seconded, and then for any questions on any of those amendments to be raised, together with advice taken from the Section 151 officer on all of those amendments that are proposed, before any separate votes are taken in sequence.
Councillor Fothergill.
I think we're getting ourselves tied up here a bit in procedure. Actually, our amendment to the amendment is very simple. All it does is just remove the four allocations. It leaves the same amount ring-fenced into the reserve budget, but just withdraws the four lines, purely and simply, because we don't think that they worked up enough for us to be able to put them through full council at this point. There is no debate that we could increase the amount, but the debate that we think is that it would be better just to ring-fence that amount and then have the debate. So that's our amendment. I think it would be helpful to hear our amendment before you take the first vote.
OK, I'm going to call on Councillor Chilcot to put forward her amendment, then I'm going to look round the room to see if there are any other amendments.
Thank you, Chair. I think we'll all agree right on both sides of the room today that we have been very prudent and careful with our budgeting in the last 12 months, which has helped us get to the position we are in today. We feel very much that whilst there's some merit in what's been suggested, nothing has been costed or worked up, and we feel it appropriate that before putting anything to Council, it should be worked through and the figures worked through. So our budget amendment reflects that. It says that the Council approves the addition of a further one-off £500,000 to the ring fence prevention reserve, which we've already put some money in the papers you've got before us, with a view to considering additional projects aimed at increasing residents' resilience and reducing demand on services. The 151 officer has offered assurance that SCC will be able to allocate sufficient additional funding on a one-off basis, and that's my amendment.
Can I ask for a seconder to your amendment? Thank you, Faye. Faye Purbrick. I'm looking around the room now to see if there are any more amendments to the amendment. John Hunt?
Not an amendment, Chair. Thank you for letting me speak. Will we be voting on the first amendment, first of all? If we are, then my question's relevant. If we're not, it's not.
I would have thought we'd voted on the amendment first.
Yes. I've got a question if we have them.
Again, procedurally, just so we're clear, if those are now the only amendments, which you're aware of, there are two, then the next step will be, if there are any questions from elected members present on either of those amendments, now is the opportunity for you then to raise them. There is also then the opportunity then the Chair will invite the Section 151 officer to make any comments on either of those two amendments. He's already provided a comment in terms of Amendment 1. And then finally, members will then be asked, unless either one of the proposers withdraws their amendment, members will then be asked to vote on the first amendment that was proposed by Councillor Lachon and seconded by Councillor Munt. And there will be a named vote on that because this relates to the budget papers. After that amendment, there will then be a vote in terms of Amendment number 2, which was proposed by Councillor Chilcot and seconded by Councillor Purbrick. Subject to the conclusion of those amendments, whichever one becomes substantive, that will then be added to the list of recommendations that you already see that has been published for Paper C. So effectively, there will become an additional amendment. I believe Paper C runs from recommendations 1 to 22 from memory. These amendments will then be added to the end of those and therefore will then be put to a named vote as part of Paper C later on.
Is every councillor clear on what the monitoring officer has just described to you all? I see nobody challenging that. Thank you.
So, Chair, again, just to assist members, it might be useful in terms of, before there are any questions on either of those two amendments, just to complete the process, it might be useful just to invite the Section 151 officer for completeness, whether he has any comments to add to the second amendment that was proposed by Councillor Chilcott and Councillor Purbrick, before there are any questions from members.
Thank you, Chairman. On the basis that the second amendment would replace the first, and should that be the case, and should be the wish of the Council, then that is acceptable. It wouldn't be acceptable for there to be both amendments accepted.
Thank you, Mr. Nurse. Councillor Jane Locke.
Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Locke, would you prefer to remain seated after
No, I'm fine, thank you. Whereas I appreciate the spirit of the Second Amendment, I'm afraid the items that we put forward, which we were advised were suitable for one-off funding, that we couldn't actually put forward anything as an amendment that required ongoing funding, which is where we came to with the items that Liz Leyshon suggested. I'm very well aware that once funding is agreed by Council, that Cabinet can then spend it in any way it chooses. And I'm not sure the spirit of what has been suggested actually recognises or covers the areas that we were particularly concerned with and put our amendment in good faith forward. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to turn to a very patient Councillor John Hunt, who's been waiting for some time.
Not one of my best traits, actually, Chair. I would just like it back to the debate on this, on the First Amendment by Councillor Leyshon. I am happy to support that, by the way. The only slight concern I have with that is putting aside £200,000 to investigate Universal Credit locally to find out how it's being used, and clearly poorly, in my opinion. But my concern is that we spend £200,000, and at the end of that, we present that to the findings of what we've discovered to the government, and the government say, yes, thank you very much, that's fantastic. And all we've done is effectively wasted £200,000. Now, I'm probably wrong, but I think that if we do this with this money, we need to do it in such a way that it does count, and I'm far too inexperienced to understand how to do that. So if I could just leave you with that, but I'm happy to support this particular amendment.
Thank you. Councillor Andy Kendall.
Just a quick one. Could you email that, Scott, for you, Chair? Maybe have that second amendment email quickly. Already I've forgotten because of the... Thank you.
Councillor Lee Redman.
Chair, thank you. I think I'm trying to keep up, but I stand at this moment just to seek some clarification, really, because I think I support the leader's comments in relation to the proposed amendment by Councillor Leyshon being a little bit unclear in its intent. I do, though, think that we cover ourselves with that by the use of the words "up to." What we're saying, within each of the three out of the four proposals, are clear in the fact that the direction of travel was outlined in what we're hoping to achieve from it, and also the up to the amount allows for the fat to be put on, the meat to be put on the bone around it. The one which I think is clear is the fact that for the young carers proposal, we are actually, the suggestion is to put up an additional £100,000 into trying to maintain that service or trying to build resilience and support. So I think the proposal from Councillor Leyshon is quite clear in the fact that it sets out an expectation. We accept the fact in this room that there will be a need to build up some more detail, but the caveat of including the words "up to" in the figure beforehand gives us the leniency or the ability to be able to make sure we will not spend. So what we would be agreeing to is not to spend more than that amount, and the ability to build in some detail around it, and hopefully we'll be able to do that on a cross-party basis to work together to get the best outcome for it. So I'm happy to support Councillor Leyshon's proposal, and I think that's it. And I think, to be honest,
without fully reading the proposal from Councillor Chilcot, I think that may be a little bit too unclear in the fact, oh, we can stick £500,000 to one side and do with it something a little bit later on. At least the Councillor Leyshon's proposal at least gives us a direction of travel, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to give everybody an idea of the position, it's going to be Councillor David Fothergill first, Councillor Liz Leyshon, Councillor David Huxtable, Councillor Faye Purbrick and Councillor Christine Lawrence, because they're starting to build up now.
Thank you, Chairman. Very quickly, I don't think we're disagreeing with the four items at all. I think what we're disagreeing is that we've worked very hard over the last 5 months to get clarity into our finances and what we're proposing. And unfortunately, there is not clarity here. I'll give you an example of the county ticket. The review on the county ticket will be really difficult, and I don't know what can be achieved. If we reduce the price of a county ticket by £100, the colleges reduce their subsidy by £100. We don't give £100 to the students, we give it to the colleges. So there are lots of implications there we just don't understand. The universal credits ones, where's that going? It may be, I think it's promoted by our public health department. I think it's a great idea, but at the moment, it's just not worked up enough, and I don't think that's the way this council should operate. We should have clear parameters what we're doing. I'm very happy to take those four ideas forward, but at the moment I think we should ring fence that another additional 500 in there and consider them in the cold light of day rather than in the heat of a full council.
I'm going to go to the next speaker, Councillor Liz Leyshon, straight away. She may wish to reply.
Thank you, Chair. You'll know in my previous life I'm well used to working with writers, script editors, dramaturgs, improvisation, you name it, we've done it. So I am very happy to work in different ways. But at the moment, I see this more as a circus act. I see my amendment as the high wire and the counter amendment as the safety net. I think we're both in the same big ring here, that we both are looking, both sides of this tiny aisle, we're looking for ways to work better in this county. I'm not withdrawing my amendment, though I realise that would make the meeting a little bit shorter and therefore would probably be welcome in some places. I leave it, please, to go to a named vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor David Huxtable.
Chairman, those members of the public who were patient enough and diligent enough to be at the last meeting of this council will find this absolutely extraordinary. We're actually fighting over spare money, which 3 months ago we really didn't have. I really cannot believe the pettiness of some members in this chamber who continue to nitpick. The reason that the opposition, and I hate to bring politics into it, but Chairman, politics is unfortunately in everything we do. There is no politics for the opposition's point of view not to ring fence money for some of projects which we all think are very worthy. The whole idea of putting a ring fence around anything limits the action that we can take. Now, I heard from the opposition, oh, we can't trust them. They could take that money away and spend it on whatever they like. Everything we do is open and transparent. And I am determined. We are very keen in my department to endorse the prevention agenda, as I know Francis is in children, because that is the future. The future is not to reduce preventative services. The future is to put more money into preventative services. But I will not agree money that doesn't have a business case, a sound business case behind it. So let's just agree that this great piece of news, we're going to put another £500,000 into this ring-faced budget, and then we can all, on that side of the House and here, agree at a later stage the wisest way to spend it. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Huxtable. Councillor Faye Purbrick.
Thank you, Chair. I think many of the points I was going to make have already been said, so I won't cover those again. I think ultimately we can all be pleased to know that there will be £1 million in a prevention reserve for us to figure out the best way to improve outcomes for people across Somerset. it concerns me slightly that we would look to use those words up to. Are we seriously saying that if fixing how we get our young people to further education costs £180,000, that we're not going to do it? I think by being prescriptive at this time, we're really cutting down on the opportunities that we've got to look at this with a wider vision and to actually say what are the best ways that we can spend this additional money to benefit those people across Somerset. Seems to be the ultimate goal. Everybody is agreed on that, and to put any kind of limitations on where we look is to limit where else we're able to look. It might be that through discussions in coming weeks and months, we discover there are other areas where we think this money can have better outcomes. And I think it is short-sighted to suggest that we should take half of that pot and say these are the four things. But if it costs a little bit more to make that change, we've said only up to, so we can't move forward. I think we need to not be overly prescriptive and not limit the vision that we have for this county. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Christine Lawrence, please.
Yes, I stand a very relieved lady. A year ago, I don't think I would ever have imagined being in such a comfortable position, so I'm not going to say too much because the previous two speakers have said exactly what I want. We are in such a good place to put an extra £500,000 into prevention. Amazing. But we do have to be careful. You just need to think twice. We trusted our Treasury team so far. Let's trust them a bit further to make sure we use every penny as wisely as we can with a business case to back up all our spending. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Neil Bloomfield, please.
Thank you, Chair. It's a question for Scott, I think, really. If this Council ring-fences a budget, do the Cabinet have the ability to wire that money elsewhere at a later date?
Apologies, Chair. I think it's probably more a question for the Section 151 officer in terms of our financial regulations. But
yes, through due process and an appropriate report to the Cabinet can make a decision to move budgets appropriately.
Thank you. Councillor Liz Leisham.
Thank you, Chair. I would be perfectly happy to take the indicative amounts off each line on my amendment, if that helps. But I understand that there is the original £500,000 for the preventative agenda in that budget with no plans at all. Am I correct on that?
Councillor Chilcott, please.
I think everybody in the chamber here will agree the absolute way forward for this council is around prevention and preventative work. Our two largest area spends, adults and children, have to do that preventative work to try and keep under control the budgets moving forwards. What we did in the budget, we had a very late decision on that money coming forwards. We recognised prevention was absolutely essential, and that's why we put that figure there. Behind that, as and when business plans will come forward. We have experts in our directors across the council. They will put forward propositions that will best benefit and best make best value of that money. And that's why it was there as one figure. And as for the Cabinet wanting to via the money, why would we? We understand the importance of prevention and it's essential in this county moving forward.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Lee Redman.
Thank you, Chair. So, forgive me, Councillor Chilcott, just for clarity. And Councillor Huxtable indicated just now that we would be unable to support a proposal without any fixed direction of travel, yet you've just agreed with Councillor Leisham that the first £500,000 is out there ready for development of business cases, etc. So isn't that just what's happening?
As I've named, I would like to respond. The point is fundamental. There are no business cases behind any of these figures, and we don't know whether they are good for our communities until we've looked into them further. So it's quite right and appropriate. You look at an idea, you work up a business case, then the money's applied for. That's how this council operates, and it's the way it must continue to operate.
I'm looking around the chamber. Councillor Hunt.
Sorry, guys, I know you want to get to lunch and everything else. Just something that I'm finding very disturbing, being non-political, is that That's very good, very good. Is that several on the benches opposite are saying, sort of standing up in a warm glow, saying that, oh, we have all this money available and we didn't think we'd be in this position. But I have to say that it is at a cost to many vulnerable people in Somerset. It is also at a cost to many jobs that have been lost. So, yes, we now have this £500,000, which is lovely, but at what cost has it arrived? And I think perhaps we, as in the royal we, could be just a little more humble. And we haven't... look at us today, we've got all this money. It's not really the case. The second point I would like to make is Councillor Leishon just said if she took away the monies from these parts of her proposal, would that proposal then be acceptable to you guys? That doesn't sound too bad to me. I think I'd be happy to support that without monies involved. And the ring fence part of £500,000, I think if that was in there, if these four things were in that and said, look, we will look at these four things, these need to be sorted out, and it will be part of the £500,000 ring-fenced monies. I think if that was some sort of amendment, I think that would be acceptable to most people in the room. It would certainly be acceptable to me, I think.
Councillor Fothergill.
Chairman, I'm just conscious that we're talking about £500,000. We do have £800 million of other monies that we need to talk about. I wonder if we can move to a vote as soon as we can.
I was about to say that when the last speaker stirred. I've looked around the room and I haven't seen anybody else indicating that they wish to speak. I think the only logical thing now is we move to the vote. The vote will be, if I've got this right, on the first amendment.
It is, Jay Johnson.
It is. And I'm going to hand over to Scott, who will conduct how we're going to do this.
Thank you, Chair. Again, just before we move to the voting on Amendment 1, again, it's just useful just to clarify, because Councillor Leishon did refer to the potential for removing specific references to monies. Is that something Councillor Leishon, as the proposer, is now intending to do before this goes to the vote?
Yes, Chair, I would be willing to do that if it helped this amendment in any way, because this is not about us. This is about the people who need support.
Again, for clarity, this is, I'm just establishing, is that what you intend to do or not?
Yes, please, Chair.
Point of order, Chairman. Could I have clarity from the monitoring officer if that is a new proposal? Okay, thank you.
Then if we've got a new proposal, should I be asking for a seconder for the new proposal?
Again, that is not a new, but I mean, again, for completeness in terms of seconding, I know Councillor Munt, you're still happy to second that without references to those specific sums against those four items?
Yes, I am.
In which case, then, all members will have already emailed to them a copy of the proposed amendment from Councillor Leishon, seconded by Councillor Munt, noting verbally that they have removed the references to money that are in brackets against each one of those four items. And on that basis, I will be now moving through a named vote for that first amendment.
Chair, sorry, point of order. I'm a little bit confused now. So the original amendment that went forward has now been amended
to by the proposer,
and now so that will be the second first amendment we vote on. So the original
that will be the first.
So
the proposer has the ability to either withdraw or amend during a meeting, that's what's been exercised.
So the first vote will be on Councillor Chilcot's amendment.
The first one will be on Councillor Leishon's, which is the amendment as emailed. It has just removed the sums of money that are referenced in brackets. If it helps, if everyone's got that, right? In which case, then,
before we move to that, I see Councillor Parham is gesticulating.
Yes, I'd just like a bit of clarity, if I could, Chair. Could somebody, I've been trying to follow this, it's obviously getting relatively complicated now, could somebody explain in fairly simple terms what the difference is now between the amendment that Councillor Chilcot proposed and the amended amendment which Councillor Leishon proposed? Because I'm now unsure that there's any difference between the two.
I can understand your concern. It was actually troubling me because they seem to be now almost on a parity. Would you? No, I'm told no. Okay. Councillor Liz Layshaw and then Councillor Chilcott to respond.
Thank you, Chair. I do understand that consideration and concern. However, my amendment does mention specific areas that are of particular concern to us in Somerset, and I fully acknowledge that some of the Cabinet members are working, which I didn't know about, on such things as the county ticket, and I really appreciate that. I do not wish to interfere with their good work in any way. However, I do want the words county ticket, young carers, universal credit and investment strategy to stay in there for good reason. Thank you.
Councillor Chilcott.
Thank you, and I would reiterate, we are looking for fully costed, worked up business plans, not a line on an amendment that might actually not be needed. Thank you.
Okay. Councillors, Scott, the monitoring officer, has just emailed you all again with this proposal, so you're clear. Whilst I'm speaking, if any of you are suffering a battery malfunction or losing power, if you speak to young Michael, he has a supply of spare batteries at the back of the chamber, and you can perhaps slip across and get a battery pack off him. Councillor Liz Layshon.
I'm sorry, Chair, at the risk of driving you and everyone else mad, a further amendment to my budget amendment. Take out the words scoping and commissioning, replace it with exploring. So the Council approves the addition of a further one-off £500,000 to the Ring Fence Prevention Reserve with a view to exploring work in the following areas, and then followed by the 4 points. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Tessa Munt, are you prepared to second that amendment? Did you hear it? Did you want it repeated?
I did. I am.
Councillor John. Sorry, I forgot his name.
Thank you, Chair. To answer Councillor Parham, actually. Was it Parham? I do apologise.
If you name him, he has a right of reply.
Yes, of course. He can see no difference between your proposed amendments to this amendment. On that basis, I'm assuming this will go through quite easily. So if there is no difference, I can't see the problem. The difference, just so that he does get it, as Councillor Layson was saying, is that it does include these four items unvalued, so that they will be up for consideration. That's how I read that. And if there is no difference between the two based on that, then I would have thought this would be 100% voted. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, there is a subtle difference. I can see the difference now. I think there's... Thank you, Councillor Noel, but 2 seconds, please. I think that the only way out of this, we're going round and round and round in circles. We have a lot of substantive business to undertake still this morning. I'm going to move it to the vote. And so we're going to go to the vote now, please. Scott will administer this.
Thank you, Chair. I'll take yourself to the name vote. Again, for clarity, I've emailed just the final version from Councillor Layshon, so you can all see that. I will now move towards taking name votes. So, Councillor Paul. Against. Councillor Best. For. Councillor Bloomfield.
For.
Councillor Bowne. Councillor Broome. Councillor Burridge-Clayton. Councillor Caswell. Councillor Chilcott. Councillor Clark. Councillor Coles. Councillor Dance. Councillor Davies. Councillor Dimmery. Councillor Filmer. Councillor Fothergill. Councillor Frascini. Councillor Govier. Councillor Groskop. Councillor Hall. Councillor Hamm. Councillor Healy. Against. Councillor Hewitt Cooper. Against. Councillor James Hunt. Against. Councillor John Hunt. For. Councillor Huxtable. Against. Councillor Keating. Against. Councillor Kendall. For. Councillor Lawrence. Against. Councillor Lewis. Against. Councillor Layshon. Councillor Jane Locke. For. Councillor Tony Locke. Councillor Loveridge. For. Councillor Munt. For. Councillor Napper?
Yes.
Councillor Nicholson?
Yes.
Councillor Knoll?
Yes.
Councillor Oliver?
Yes.
Councillor Parham?
Yes.
Councillor Purbrick?
Yes.
Councillor Redman?
Four.
Councillor Revens?
Four.
Councillor Rigby?
Four.
Councillor Councillor Taylor?
Against.
Councillor Verdon? Councillor Vijay? Councillor Wallace?
Against.
Councillor Weddercott? Councillor Josh Williams? Councillor Rod Williams? Councillor Woodman?
Against.
Total votes as follows: 20 votes for the motion, 31 votes against, and no abstentions. That amendment is not carried. Point, Chairman. We now move to the second amendment, which has also been emailed to all members. The amendment proposed by Councillor Chilcott and seconded by Councillor Purbrick. Again, moving to the name votes. Councillor Paul?
No, this is an amendment. This is the second amendment.
That's been emailed to all members.
Councillors, if you can all be clear, you're actually now going to be asked to vote on the second amendment. We still have that second amendment still outstanding. Depending on how that goes, then we would go to the original proposal. But that is the last of the amendments. There were two amendments. You all clear on that?
So, moving to the name vote on the proposed amendment from Councillor Chilcott. If I start with Councillor Paul, Councillor Best, Councillor Bloomfield, Councillor Bowne, Councillor Broome, Councillor Burridge-Clayton, Councillor Caswell, Councillor Chilcott, Councillor Clark, Councillor Coles, Councillor Dance, Councillor Davies, Councillor Dimmery, Councillor Filmer, Councillor Fothergill, Councillor Fashini, Councillor Govier, Councillor Groskop, Councillor Hall, Councillor Ham, Councillor Healy, Councillor Hewitt Cooper, Councillor James Hunt, Councillor John Hunt, Councillor Huxtable, Councillor Keating, Councillor Kendall, Councillor Lawrence, Councillor Lewis, Councillor Leishon, Councillor Jane Locke, Councillor Tony Locke, Councillor Loveridge, Councillor Munt, Councillor Napper, Councillor Nicholson, Councillor Knoll, Councillor Oliver, Councillor Parham, Councillor Purbrick, Councillor Redman, Councillor Evans, Councillor Rigby, Councillor Taylor, Councillor Verdon, Councillor Vijay, Councillor Wallace, Councillor Weddercott, Councillor Josh Williams, Councillor Rod Williams, Councillor Woodman. The total votes for that are 50 in favour and 1 against. Therefore, that amendment is carried and therefore is added to the Paper C motions that members will vote upon later. Point, Chairman. Then clearly you're at the point where if members have any other questions regarding Papers A, B, C and D prior to members then taking votes on each of the recommendations for those papers.
Can I just make a comment and say thank you very much to everyone for agreeing to put another £500,000 into preventative work for this council. An hour and three quarters ago, that money wasn't in this budget, and it is now, thanks to the hard work of Liz Leishen. Thank you.
I really think I will just comment on that as chairman. I think it's hard work of everybody in this chamber how to vote. That, you know, I think we must say collectively across the floor, it's every councillor's hard work, whether they were for or against it. They've assisted in debate. Thank you, Councillor Chilcot.
To be clear, we're not politicking. We're here to help our residents in Somerset.
Right. There appear to be no other questions in the chamber, so I'm going to move to the vote on paper A.
Councillor Clark has a question.
You're a bit late, Councillor Clark. I've moved, but I will tolerate it.
Thank you so much, Chair. I just want to... I'm very pleased to read about the non-Treasury investment, this new amount that the Council is looking at spending. And I particularly note that how it can be used for other businesses such as solar farms and energy companies. And in light of the requisition item we're going to be talking later, this may provide a real opportunity to actually take action on this front in terms of renewable energies, etc., and carbon emissions. But I would like to ask, I don't know who would answer the question, but can I ask, can I have some real assurances that this process and this board will be absolutely transparent in terms of how this money is being spent? Because my concerns arise from a district council which is spending significant amounts of money, and there are real concerns about how they're using this money for investments. So I just want to seek some assurance that this will be totally transparent, and we will be able to see exactly how these decisions are made and on what basis they're made this investment goes to. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Chilcot, would you like to speak, or Councillor Fothergill?
I think we're, just to reassure John, totally transparent, but I think the person that needs to answer this is the Section 151 officer who will oversee that transparency process. But from my point of view, absolutely.
Mr. Lewis.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, as the paper sets out, the governance arrangements around this proposed investment are not yet fully formulated. It is an area, a new venture for this council to go into. Therefore, it needs to be carefully thought through. And the absolute intention is that that is done very carefully and that any investment is done with transparency.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Right, as I said, I'm going to move to that vote now. Then this is the recommendations of paper A. Are you all clear what you're going to vote on? Looking around here, nobody showing any concerns about it. It is page 50, 50, 50, 50, 50. Page 50.
And there are two recommendations for the council to agree.
Okay. You'll see there's two clear recommendations that you will agree on. So I propose that we...
You just need to take a vote. There's no name vote on paper A.
All right. Did you hear what the monitoring officer said? There is no named vote on this paper. So I'll be coming to you in a second. Do you want just 2 seconds to read it? Okay, going straight to the vote then in that case. So you have two options. Are we taking them separate?
All those in favour, Chair.
All those in favour, please indicate the usual way.
That's carriage. That looks unanimous.
It does appear to be unanimous.
Check to see if there are any...
Any to the contrary, please. I declare that unanimous. Thank you. So now we're going to go to the vote on paper B, which is the capital programme 2019, oblique 20 and oblique 2021 to 2022. I've got to highlight to you that the recommendations are set out on page 70 of the agenda pack, and members should refer to these when voting. So I'm going to point out that the Council is recommended to agree three items there: the approval of the proposed capital programme for that period, 2019-20, and 2022 to 2023, of 224.121 million, shown in Appendix A. Full details of the individual schemes are available online as background papers. It's to be noted there is an existing programme approved in 2018-19 that overlaps with this one. The second item will be that the Chief Executive and the relevant Senior Leadership Team Officer, following appropriate consultation and having given due regard to the information contained within any associated impact assessments, are given delegated authority to decide on the individual projects to be delivered within block allocations. And the last point, three, that the Section 151 Officer is given delegated authority to accept any additional grants or funding that is made available to the County Council, together with the authority to consequently expand the approved capital programme, providing that there are no negative revenue budget implications as a result of that action. So are you all clear that what you're going to call you to vote on? You are. I see that. Okay. We're going to do it, all three.
We call for a vote in favour of those three recommendations,
okay.
Chair.
Okay. Okay, we're going to do it en bloc. I'm going to take a vote, please, in favour of the recommendations. Please indicate in the usual way.
It's unanimous again.
Unanimous again. Okay, thank you. To the contrary, if any. Right, that is unanimous. Thank you.
At this point, members, we are now at paper C, which is the Revenue Budget Medium-Term Financial Plan. The recommendations for that are set out on pages 86, 87 and 88 of your agenda packs. Their recommendations numbered 1 through to 22. You heard earlier Councillor Chilcott refer to recommendation 8 and the amendment made to that because Somerset Waste Board has already met. And similarly, you will also be aware that you've previously voted upon an amendment proposed by Councillor Chilcott and seconded by Councillor Purbrick, which is then added to those existing recommendations. So on that basis, I will now move to a name vote for members to indicate whether they are for, against or abstaining in respect of all of those recommendations. So I shall start with Councillor Paul.
For.
Councillor Best. Councillor Bloomfield?
Against.
Councillor Baum? Councillor Broome?
Abstain.
Councillor Burridge Clayton?
For.
Councillor Caswell?
For.
Councillor Chilcott? Councillor Clark?
Against.
Councillor Coles?
Against.
Councillor Dance?
Against.
Councillor Davies?
Abstain.
Councillor Dimmery?
Abstain.
Councillor Filmer? Councillor Fothergill?
For.
Councillor Frascini?
For.
Councillor Govia?
Against.
Councillor Groskop?
For.
Councillor Hall?
For.
Councillor Hamm?
For.
Councillor Healy?
For.
Councillor Hewitt Cooper?
For.
Councillor James Hunt?
For.
Councillor John Hunt?
Against.
Councillor Huxtable?
For.
Councillor Keating?
For.
Councillor Kendall?
Against.
Councillor Lawrence? Councillor Lewis?
For.
Councillor Lashon?
Abstain.
Councillor Jane Locke?
Abstain.
Councillor Tony Locke?
Abstain.
Councillor Loveridge?
Abstain.
Councillor Munt?
Abstain.
Councillor Napper?
For.
Councillor Nicholson?
For.
Councillor Knoll?
For.
Councillor Oliver?
For.
Councillor Parham?
For.
Councillor Purbrick?
For.
Councillor Redman?
Abstain.
Councillor Evans?
Against.
Councillor Rigby?
Against.
Councillor Taylor?
For.
Councillor Verdon?
For.
Councillor Vijay?
For.
Councillor Wallace?
For.
Councillor Weddercott?
Abstain.
Councillor Josh Williams?
For.
Councillor Rod Williams?
For.
Councillor Woodman?
For.
Just a point of order, Chairman. I'm very confused now that we seem to have members of the opposition just voting against an amendment they voted in favour of? I just wanted to understand how that worked.
I will make no comment on that, Councillor Parham. I suggest you speak to the opposition later.
So, in councillors, if I can just report in terms of the votes that were cast, we have 31 votes for, 9 against, and 11 abstentions. Therefore, clearly, all of those recommendations in Paper C, including that amendment, are carried. We now move, therefore, on to the recommendations for Paper D, Treasury Management Strategy Statement 2019-20, where the recommendations are on page 340. Members will see that there are 3 recommendations set there, and at this point again, I think we would call for members to vote upon those 3 recommendations by first a show of hands in favour of those 3 recommendations, please. Just to check, that's therefore in favour. I can see those. If there are any against or any abstentions, in which case then that is carried. Thank you, Chairman. We now move on to agenda item 7.
Councillors, you've all sat here getting very involved. I'm going to suggest we have a 5-minute comfort break before you resume. Just 5 minutes, please, councillors.